problem, but every once in a while I throw it out and then just, so it's a lot of fun. I'm working right now with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, down here in Lebanon. Just for a few months, I've been down the road here, your neighbors, and we've been having a discipleship training school, a crossroads discipleship training school, we call it. And these two young guys have come with me tonight, and they are two students who have been here in the crossroads. This is Dan Bryan. Dan is from Boston, Massachusetts, and Jason Hall is from Pennsylvania, which Dallas, Pennsylvania, right, and he's got a Dallas Cowboys hat on, too. So I just, I wanted them to come along. I heard a joke about the Cowboys today. Someone said, what do you call 47 millionaires who are standing around watching the Super Bowl on TV? The Dallas Cowboys. Okay. All right, so we're going to, in just a few weeks, these two guys are going to be leaving the United States and going on an outreach. They're going to be going as a team first to Albania. And after spending a few weeks in Albania, they're going to go up into Ukraine and do ministry there. So that's a part of the training school that they're going through. And tonight, I just wanted them to come, and we're going to sing a song. And then after that, Jason is going to share a testimony. And then following that, we'll get into the Word for a few minutes here. So Dan, do you want to come up? And we want you all to stand up and join in with us.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for welcoming us into your home. I noticed that your church is called the Victory Christian Fellowship, and it's appropriate that this song we wanted to sing is the Victory Chant. Do you know this song? Is that a better one to use?
Oh, okay. Number 7.
So it's a call and response. Do you know it? So whatever I sing, you sing. Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Perfect in all your ways.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word.
I will obey your word.
I want to see your kingdom come.
I want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You take us into the land.
You take us into the land.
And we will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, O Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, O Lion of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Hail, hail, O Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, O Lion of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Amen.
Hi, everybody. Hi, as you said, please sit. Thanks, Mike. As you said, I'm Jason from Dallas, Pennsylvania. Just don't hold the Cowboys against me. Just next year. Near Scranton. People know Scranton a little more, Dunder Mifflin. I guess a little testimony of how I came to know the Lord and what he's done for me. I actually met him first came to know him when I was 17, it was 91, as I was going to my junior year in high school. I had a friend across the street, his name was Ross, and Ross used to witness to me all the time, and we just thought we were cute and funny, we'd make fun of him and pick on him all the time for it and just a Jesus freak or whatnot, but Russ was persistent and just kept telling me about him. And then he would start bringing me to youth group, and I did enjoy going to youth group, but never really connected it yet. And Russ gave me an album. It was a tape, actually, of Keith Green, because I really loved the piano. He's like, you'll like it. He plays the piano. And I took this. It was in my room for 2 or 3 months before I finally put it in. And it was one summer night. I listened to it and lay there in bed, kind of liking it, liked the melody of it, and I heard Make My Life a Prayer to You. That song came on. I just lost it. Just laid there in my own bed, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, just bawling, like crying out to God, God, if you're real, you know, if you're Jesus, yeah, here I am. I want you. I want to give you the chance, and I want you to give me a chance, or however the words were. And the next day, I just called Russ, like, flip, and I'm like, Russ, man, I got saved last night. I accepted Jesus last night. I'm saved, dude. He's like, Jason, you always were saved. I was like, nah, Russ, I just went to youth for the girls. That's the only reason I would go. it's true. And but I did accept Christ, and it was like a radical change immediately. Instead of going out with my other friends, me and Russ and this guy that I, Eric got saved too, we'd go over to Russell's house and have Bible studies on Friday nights and all-night prayers, and it was awesome. It really was. And just growing in God and just like a shot. And I went to public school, into Dallas High School, and we had to do a term paper and a speech on what we wanted to do when we grew up. And everybody else was like, whatever. I mean, even 11th grade would do it, and I did. I wanted to be an evangelist. And I took some heat a little bit, but not a whole heck of a lot from my friends in school. They would call me Jimmy Swagger and tease me and tease me in their way for that. But I was like, enough's enough, and that wasn't really bothering me too much, getting teased. It was just the environment, the atmosphere. So I left Dallas, and I went to a Christian school, Sweet Valley Bible Academy, and I was salutatorian because there was 2 seniors in my graduating class. So it wasn't hard. And after high school, I thought I had the call of God in my life, and I was on my way to Valley Forge Christian College to be a youth pastor. And for whatever reason, I didn't get into the college. And my grades were good, even though the salutatorian deal, but they were good. I made who's who. I mean, I went in Dallas. I'm a DF student, and here I am, B's and A's, and I'm in who's who, an American high school student, so it was good. But for whatever reason, this college didn't take me, and somehow it became God's fault, and I was mad at God. And but I was still kind of hanging on. I went to Wilkes-Barre Assembly of God. It wasn't my church. I was going to Trucksville. But I would go there and help my friend Ray on, now I'm 20, even a little bit later. I would help him with the youth group. And just one night I stayed home to play a video game of all things. And God, I always say God didn't punish me for that. I mean, I know he didn't, but it made that next decision, next wrong decision, that much harder. Because I still had in the back of my head, like, the church doesn't want me because God told me I'm supposed to be a pastor. I'm going in the ministry. But yet now this college isn't taking me. So what gives? That was still in my head. And like I said, I skipped youth that one night and then a couple nights, and I made the next wrong choice that much harder. I went over to my friend Paul's one time, and I was like, dude, I'm thirsty. And he's like, I got V8 or beer. He's like, well, I don't like V8, so one beer won't hurt me. And then I ended up getting hammered with him. And that led to experiencing, even 20, it was kind of late bloomer, other things. By the time I was 22, I had 3 DUIs. So it's where just those wrong choices started taking me. And it wasn't that the college didn't take me. It was like, where was I standing with God? You know, I got mad at God over this, and it wasn't God's deal. It wasn't his fault, but I'm angry with him and feel betrayed and feel hurt and say, God, you're just like everybody else in my life that has hurt me. And, you know, you're just another brick in the wall, so to say. And made those choices that much easier to make. Like I said, I fell deep into drugs and alcohol, but I don't really want to talk about the war stories. I ended up getting married and then thinking, okay, God, this is it. You know, I met the one, and life's going to be good. We didn't last. We ended up getting divorced. So then again, I was really bitter and really, really angry with God, because now I made vows with somebody whom I dearly love, and it's gone. So that was God's fault, and but it wasn't. And I was 28. That happened. By 31, I was every day the same party atmosphere, and then by myself. And one morning, I worked midnight shift, and then one morning, I'm sitting there at my computer having a couple of beers and had the television on, TBN network on in the background, and Jeremiah 29:11 came on and says, you know, for the plans I have, I know the plans I have for you. And that hit me, and I just on my knees, just crying, you know, God, forgive me, I'm sorry, I know you have this. It's not you, I'm going to give you myself back. I want to get myself back to you. And ended up going into a treatment center in Marworth. It was in Waverly, Pennsylvania. From there, they told me change people, places, things. And that took me to Florida. I stayed in Delray Beach, Florida for the last 4 years. And I found this church one night. I was looking for a church. He was still tugging at you. You feel him tugging at you and pulling you back. And I found this church, Lakeside Christian Church. And I shot him an email one night. What is this church? What are you affiliated with? What do you believe? Because I didn't know if it was Mormon, if it was Catholic, or what it was. It just said Lakeside Christian. And he had told me, and he's like, do you need a ride? I'm like, how does he know I don't have a car here? I ride my bike everywhere, but like, yeah, but I'm on my way out the door now anyway. So I can't tonight. That was a Wednesday night service. It's like, hopefully I'll check you out on the weekend. And then Thursday, he didn't call me back, and Friday came along. I called them back. I'm like, this is Jason. I'm trying to find Pastor Joe. Interested in the church. And he still didn't return my call. And then that Saturday, I was out just on a bike ride around A1A. And my God, there's this other church. If these guys don't call me within, you know, by the end of the day, I'm going to this other church tomorrow. Within half an hour, my phone rang. And in my cell, and somebody, and, you know, this Jason, yeah. And they told me where the church was. So I went to that church that night. Excuse me, went to the church that night. And I walked out during worship. I was still smoking. I still hung on to them for a while. And I walked on during worship, had a few, called my friend, saying, I don't know if I want to be here or whatever, just walked back in, sat through it, and then had the altar call, and I said, God, this is between me and you. This is just between you and me right now, God. You know what I need, and I know what you know what I'm here for. I said, God, and also, just help me to quit these things. I can't stand smoking. Take that as well. I went there. I did dedicate my life back to him, and just asked him to take cigarettes away, and They did. They prayed with me, and but they didn't know. I didn't tell the pastor that I wanted to quit. He probably smelled them, but I didn't tell him. And I walked out. I went to Walgreens, had a lit one. I was like, what am I doing? God just took these things from me and stomped that out, threw my pack, threw my lighter out, and that was like a done. I mean, no patch, no nothing. So God did deliver me from that. Praise God. And my friend Jay down there, he's the one who told me about YWAM. He did his DTS in Switzerland, and so that was really cool. But I didn't, he's like, well, you got to raise your own support. It's like, well, it's like, why would I do that? They should be paying me to go there. I didn't understand what this was, and it's actually college, because we are getting university credit. So, but it's awesome. I mean, now that it is, I mean, even in this, that was last May, and I moved back from Florida, Pennsylvania, Dallas, I was going to college and didn't know I was going to come here right away. I was trying to go to the Philippines, where I really feel God's telling me to go there one day anyway. And I found YWAM here, David Bauman. He's like, I was talking to him, telling him about, like, I want to come here. I heard about it. I definitely want to do a DTS. And me, like I said, I wanted to go to the Philippines. But talking to this guy, like, I knew I had to go to Lebanon. Or should be in Lebanon anyway, because it was like talking to him like you talk to an old friend. I mean, I was on the phone with him to ask him one question. We'd be on the phone for an hour just talking. I mean, he was very loving and very grateful man. And that brought me here. And so I met Mike and Dan. And now we're plugging away. And what God has transformed an ultimate mess, like an embarrassment to my friends and my family, to what it is now, is like everything he has. And whatever I can give to anybody else with that. And you know, the attitude, like, God, I can't play an instrument, but I'm blessed with the gift of service. Like, Jesus was a servant, and it's just awesome. And the rest of my life, whatever it is serving him in whichever way I can. Okay? Thank you. Bless you.
Isn't that awesome? Let's quickly turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't know where that is in the Bible, it's right after Ephesians chapter 3. And Ephesians chapter 4, the whole book of Ephesians is an amazing book, isn't it? It's just, there's so much in there. You could just meditate on Ephesians every day and get new revelation. Let's pray before we say anything. Lord, I thank you tonight for your love and your goodness. I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person who is here, Lord. I thank you that they're your sons and daughters, and that your presence is in their lives, that you are working in their lives. You are doing things, Lord. You are not just sort of hanging back and not involved at all. We thank you so much for that. Lord, I thank you for Dan coming here and leading us in a song tonight, and I thank you for the way that you use him to bless and minister to people in Boston, and the way that you're going to be taking him over to Albania and Ukraine. Thank you for Jason and the transformation that you've done in his life, Lord. It's amazing how you are changing him too. And Lord, it's just such a privilege to know you. So I pray in the next few minutes as we look into the word, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be present here, and it would truly be a time of refreshing tonight. This is a Wednesday night refreshing. I pray for the refreshment of your Spirit to touch people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Paul is talking about a lot of things in Ephesians chapter 4. One of the things he's talking about is Christian maturity. And in some of the early verses of the chapter, he talks about how that as we operate, this is all of us, as we operate in our gifts as pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, as we operate in our ministry gifts, it says that we are preparing each other for works of service, and it is leading us to become mature and Christ-like. Maturity is being like Christ. Okay, so that's the first few verses he's talking about. We use the gifts that God has given us to build each other up and to prepare each other for works of service. You know, we don't prepare each other just so that I can become prosperous and God will bless me and I'll have everything I need. If God does that, that's awesome and that's wonderful, and he's a good God and he does bless us. But he's preparing us for works of service. There's things God wants us to be doing in our life, touching other people. And so that's what Paul is talking about. We use our gifts, and as we use our gifts toward each other, we help to mature each other corporately and individually. But what I want to focus in on is down in verses 14 to 16. And Paul here is also talking about maturity, okay? So let's read Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16. He says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming." Verse 15, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each of us that is a member of this church does its work, does his or her work, we're going to be built up in love as a body. Amen? Need to love each other. But what I really want to look at is verse 15. He says there, instead, it starts, instead of being tossed around and going through all these struggles, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. This is talking about maturity. It's talking about becoming like Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying one of the ways that we become like Jesus is by speaking the truth in love. Most of the time I live in India, as Doug said. I've lived in Calcutta, India for a long time, and I've also lived in another city named Chennai, India. And one thing that we did a lot when my kids were small especially was every year, these Indian circuses would come to town, and we'd always go to the circus.
the Gemini Circus, and they had all kinds of different names, and they had the whole nine yards, elephants and tigers, and they had trapeze artists and everything. And they had all these young Indian guys and girls who were very nimble and athletic, you know, and they would do all sorts of acrobatic things. One of the things they did is they had a high wire act, and it was the wire was probably about as tall as this doorway here. It wasn't like way, way up there, you know. I think they also had one that was way up with a net. But the one I'm thinking of, it was about that high, and these young girls and guys would get up there with a pole, and they would begin walking across that, you know, and they could stand on one foot, and they could sit down on it, and they could do all kinds of different things. And they'd have a spotter down below, a couple of, it always looked really, really unsafe to me, but that's how they did it. I never saw anybody fall. But that high wire act, that's a real balancing act, you know? And they have a pole in their hands. And you all understand the purpose of the pole, right? I mean, I was looking on the internet today at high wire. I just Googled high wire, and I saw these guys walking across between buildings, like massive skyscrapers, you know, with a pole, you know? You've got to be crazy to do that stuff. You've got to be really good, too, don't you? You can't make a mistake up there. But they have that pole, and the pole is going up and down as they cross. And that's how they balance, you know? And evidently, if you learn how to do it, you know, and they wouldn't wear hard shoes. They would wear, like, ballet slippers or something soft, so their foot is really conformed to that wire, that rope that's underneath, and they could do all sorts of things. But they're balancing and they're walking across there. And I believe if we want to be mature in Christ like, we need to live a life of balance. We need to walk in a balanced way. And Paul is telling us here in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all things into the head. The tightrope that we're walking on as Christians is being like Jesus, I believe. And we have a bar in our hands, and that bar, that balancing bar, one end of it is truth, and the other end of the balancing bar is love. And we constantly have this balancing thing going on of truth and love. You know, have you ever heard someone say, well, I can't just say the truth. You know, if I just tell him what I really think, he's going to be really hurt. Or have you ever been in a situation like that where you know that it's not good to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it's going to cause fireworks, you know? Truth can be like that, you know. Truth can be severe. And then on the other end of the pole is love, you know. So as Christians, I believe Paul says, we mature, we grow, we stay on the wire as we speak the truth in love. It doesn't say speaking in love, period, and forgetting about the truth. See, that's one extreme. If you put the bar too far out this way, it's going out too far that way, you're going to fall that way. You've got to keep it in the middle and keep it balanced. And Paul didn't say speaking the truth. I think sometimes as Christians we get in trouble because we speak the truth, but it gets interpreted. Now, in this day and age that we live in, it gets interpreted as being we're bigoted and we're angry and we're critical and we're judgmental, right? A lot of people feel that's how the church is. And I think in a lot of ways we do that sometimes. I'm not saying you individually, but I think a lot of us as Christians sometimes we're a little bit, we say things harshly, we say the truth. The truth is not a bad thing, but we say the truth and we forget about love. The other extreme would be we just, oh, brother, I love you, you're such a nice guy, or oh, friend, you know, you're so nice, don't worry about that, you know, and it's okay if I compromise a little bit. You know, I compromise a little bit because I want to keep the relationship. I got to keep the relationship. I got to be loving at all costs, even if I have to sacrifice the truth a little bit. So both of those extremes can get you off the wire. If you look at verse 14 there, Paul talks about being blown by the wind, and he talks about, you know, being pushed here and there, he says in verse 14. What's it say up there? Yeah, tossed to and fro, carried about by with every wind. That's not a good thing when you're on the high wire, to be tossed to and fro. And so it's speaking the truth in love. And I believe there's a balance that we need to keep in our life. St. Augustine was talking about the truth. St. Augustine said, they love the truth when it enlightens them. They hate the truth when it accuses them. They love the truth when it reveals itself, and they hate it when it reveals them. That's the way the truth can be. I have a quotation here regarding love, too. Let's see where this is. Yeah, Leo Tolstoy, the Russian author, Tolstoy said about love, I believe that growth in love will contribute more than any other force to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Growth in love will contribute to establishing the kingdom of God on earth. So you have truth and you have love. And Paul said, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all things in Christ. 2 weeks ago, I was in a counseling session, and these guys weren't, they were there, they weren't in the same session, but a person we were counseling, and David Bauman, who is the leader of Youth with a Mission down in Lebanon, was counseling, a few of us were counseling this one man, and he had a lot of issues in his life, and David was giving him counsel about his life. He had done some things that weren't good, he shouldn't have done. But what was amazing, I was sitting there watching David and listening to him counsel this guy, and he said a couple of very penetrating things. He just, have you ever heard of, he called a spade, you know? That's kind of what he did with this guy. On a couple of points, he just called a spade a spade. He just said straight, this is what your problem is. And I was kind of like, whoa, I wonder how he's going to respond to that. That was truth. The truth was penetrating. A few minutes later, David was literally weeping. He was weeping. He was saying, I want you to change your life. And he was literally almost begging this guy to respond and saying, I love you. He said, I don't want to hurt you. I'm saying this because you... And I tell you, it was like I was learning something from that situation. It was the truth and it was love. The challenge to all of us as Christians here in your own life, in your own working environment, with your friends and everything, is to be Christians who are like that. We speak the truth, but it's always with love. It's never separated from love. Our life has to be an example of love. If we go down further here in this chapter, I'm skipping all over the place right now, sorry about that. But if we go down further in this chapter, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Paul says there, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Walk in love. Yeah, walk in love. So he's really on this theme. As Christians, we need to walk in love. We need to walk in love with difficult people. We need to walk in love with people who we don't agree with what they're doing and their lifestyle. We need to walk in love with people that are offensive or that have even done the wrong thing. Somehow, we have to remember that to be Christ-like, we have to continue to walk in love. But go back up to verse 21, Ephesians 4, verse 21. He said, surely you heard of him, and were taught in him in accordance with the truth, that is, in Jesus. So we were taught in Jesus in accordance with the truth. You know, love without truth is not really love. How many of you know that love is not always just a warm, sentimental feeling and I give you a hug and say that I love you and here to have the blessing. That's not all that love is all about. Sorry, guy. I hate to have to tell you that, but one day you'll learn. No, just kidding. This guy's awesome. I came to the youth group one night. He's an awesome guy. She is too. But, you know, it's love can be tough. Sometimes the loving thing to do is to say something that's really tough to somebody. But people will not receive that from us as Christians unless they know that we love them, right? So you have to speak the truth in love. We have to live a life of love continuously. The world we live in makes it tough to do. It's an incredibly evil world. I just get blown away by the stuff that goes on in the world. The stuff I hear about and read about, it just seems like there's no end of the craziness of what is happening in the world. I believe a lot of things now, what used to be considered evil is now considered good, and what used to be considered good is now considered evil. And it's not enough that the thing that used to be considered evil is now considered good, but you have to go along with it too. You have to agree with it. Josh McDowell said, according to the new tolerance, who I am is inseparable from what I do and think and believe. My identity is wrapped up in my culture and conduct. Therefore, if you express any disagreement with my beliefs, you are disparaging me. If you can't accept my lifestyle, you're being intolerant to me. There's a lot of that going around. If you can't accept my lifestyle, you are intolerant. I think as Christians, we are seen by many, many people as being very intolerant, some of the most intolerant people in the world. And because of that, we have to go the extra mile in demonstrating love. Incredible love. We need the same love that Jesus had on the cross, and we need to demonstrate that kind of love to people. While doing that, we cannot retreat from the truth. We cannot compromise or give up on the truth. So how in the world do we do that? How in the world do you get on that high wire and start walking with that bar in your hands? And how are you going to stay on that wire, you know? We need the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the Holy Spirit. We need to be Christian soldiers. I don't know why, but this morning I was thinking, when I was a kid in the Lutheran Sunday school, I grew up out in Idaho, and I wasn't even in a Christian family, but somehow my mom sent me to a Sunday school in a Lutheran church. One of my favorite hymns was Onward, Christian Soldiers. And I found out today that hymn was sang in the Academy Award-winning movie Mrs. Miniver in 1942. I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember that. But Mrs. Miniver, they sang that at the end of that, Onward Christian Soldiers. I would love to see Hollywood use that in a movie again this year. That would be exciting. Also, that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, was sung at the funeral of Dwight Eisenhower in 1969. That's an appropriate song for Eisenhower, wasn't it? Onward, Christian soldiers. But one of the verses says, we are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. You know, we are a church of love. We are the people of love. How in the world will the people that are lost in darkness, whose lives are goofed up beyond belief, how will they know love if we, the Christians, don't love them? If we don't go the extra mile to love them and show love when they don't deserve it, because God showed me love when I didn't deserve it. Another verse of Onward Christian Soldiers says this. I like this verse. What the saints established, that I hold for true. What the saints believed, that I believe too. Long as earth endureth, men the faith will hold. So we hold on to the truth. That is what a Christian soldier is. We need to be soldiers of the cross, holding love and truth in balance. This past week in our YWAM training school, we had a man named Mike Esposito teaching, and he was talking about this. In fact, that inspired me to want to talk about this tonight. But Mike Esposito, this is a quotation from him. He said, it was like he was speaking to the Lord. He said, "Help me not to condone or condemn people, but to walk the line of balance between them. Not to condone things that go against the truth. At the same time, not to condemn, not to move away from being a person of love." The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:15 that the church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. If the church moves away from the truth, then truth would be lost from this world. The church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. And it also, and Paul also told us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, he said, "Follow the way of love." Follow the way of love. So we need to apply this in our lives. We need to apply it in our families. Amen? We need to apply it with the people we know, our friends, our workplace. Walking that balance, speaking the truth in love. Truth tempers love, and love tempers truth. You know, when the next time you say something to your spouse, like I've done so many times, that's going to have a cutting edge to it, even though it may be true, is there some way I can say that with love? Is there some way I can do that, that it's not divorced from love? How can we mingle love and truth together in our lives, in all the things that we do? We love the homosexual. We cannot condone the sin. We argue against abortion, but can we do it with gentleness and respect? We don't condone all Muslims, but do we remember the commission we have to love them and to reach them with the gospel at the same time? We set boundaries for rebellious children, but are we there to pick him up when he falls with unconditional love? Truth and love. I just thought maybe for a few minutes we could have an opportunity, if anybody would like prayer, would like to be prayed for. I'm just thinking, if you'd like this area of being balanced in truth and love, would you like prayer in that area? Do you feel you want the Lord to make some adjustment in your life? The Lord to touch you in some way. Lord, I need to be more loving. Or Lord, I need not to compromise on the truth. You know, I think a lot of people maybe would be weighted more one way than the other way. I don't know. Maybe you don't need it. I just want to give that opportunity just for a few minutes here. So if you would like to have prayer, why don't you come forward, and maybe Doug and maybe Dan and Jason and I will just quickly pray for you. Would that be okay if you just wanted to come up front? If you don't want to, that's fine. You just sit there where you are. Thank you, Lord. Fiona, if you want to come too. And okay, she's with the kids. All right. Amen. Let's just pray for these wonderful people. And thank you, Lord. We just lift up Les before you right now, God. We thank you for his life. And we just commit him into your...
That was awesome. You know, I just think, Mike, that you just speak like a true discipler, a mentor. And I appreciate the word that you brought so much. That was, it's very rich. You know, the Bible says that we need to let the word dwell in us richly. Well, you know, as much as we let the word dwell in us richly, we need to let love. You know, let the word dwell in you richly, but be rooted and grounded in love. There's an anointing on that. I mean, that'll set you free right there. You know, that is the key to church growth, is speak the truth in love. Amen. Thank you so much for bringing that. Now, Jason, are you going to be going on a trip? Are you heading to the same place? Okay, so you're both going to Albania. Why don't you come up here, guys? Les and Julie, come on up here. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for these guys, all right? Let's send them out. Father, I thank you for Dan and Jason, Lord, and I thank you for your anointing and your power and your grace to go upon them, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you are already preparing the way. You're already setting up the assignments and the people that they're going to meet. And Lord, I pray that you would work effectually in them to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I thank you, Father, that they are rooted in the rock of their salvation. And they're going to be a blessing. Father, they're going to be a blessing where they go, in Albania, Father, and to the Ukraine, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you will use them mightily. Father, you will speak through them. You will love through them. You will touch through them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we just give you thanks and praise for your awesome power that's in them, on them, and through them, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they be blessed. May everything be accomplished that you want them to accomplish. May they learn everything that you want them to learn, Father. And we just pray that they would go in your grace and power, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you say this with me? The Heavenly Father, I commit my life to speak the truth in love. God is love. His love is shed abroad in my heart. He is the truth. That's an awesome combination. Use me, Father. Here I am. Send me to be your spokesperson of truth and love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to be your Savior. You know, that is the first step in experiencing truth and love, is to be born into the family of God. Amen? Is there anyone here tonight that's never been born again? You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior? You've never called on Him? You know? Anybody here that if you were to breathe your last breath, you wouldn't know where you would spend the rest of eternity? You can know for sure by knowing the Lord. Amen? I don't see any movement towards that, so just want to make sure. Well, how many appreciate Mike tonight and that message? That was awesome. Very rich. I'm still chewing on it, and it tastes good. So, amen. Don't forget, if you'd like to give an offering, put it in our seed planner, and that's just all going to go to Mike and their ministry. His wife, Laura, wasn't able to be with them today, and his oldest daughter goes to Messiah College, right? And you've got two other girls. Are they both back in India? Okay. One is in India. Okay. So, yeah, they're touching a few different continents. as a family. Praise the Lord. Well, you refreshed tonight? I know I am. Times of refreshing. Don't forget, this Sunday, church at 10. If you don't have a home church, you're welcome to come here. It'll be a great time. And next Wednesday night will be our last Wednesday night refreshing for November. So that's going to be with Jeffrey. So you don't want to miss next Wednesday. And it's just going to get better and better. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful and a fantastic evening.